That's right. My dog collar. I'm proud but dust. Any other dogs in the town? Okay, good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 This evening we're going to read a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, if I can find it. And I can't, so you're going to have to help me out. Manushyanam sahasreshu. Huh? I know the verse, I want the number.
7-2.
7-2? No, it's 7-10. okay, 7-2, we'll try that out. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Oops, hey, look at that. Hey, that's cool. I'm disoriented already. I'm going into encephalopathy. The Bhagavad Gita is upside down.
Wow.
It's wild.
It's tough to find a verse.
You're the real reader of Bhagavad Gita, right? The story of the South Indian the South Indian Brahmana, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going on Padyatra around India, he came across a pundit, a Brahmana, who was reading Bhagavad Gita, and while he was reading the Bhagavad Gita, many of his friends were laughing and joking about him. So Mahaprabhu was, wow, this is a tough one. Mahaprabhu was surprised, yeah. He was a little surprised, and so he began to inquire that, what is this? And they said, this pundit, this Brahmana, he's reading Bhagavad Gita, but he's illiterate. So he asked the Brahmana, he said, what are you doing? So the Brahmana could understand that Mahaprabhu was not being facetious or anything. He was sincerely inquiring. So he said, my Guru Maharaj asked me to read Bhagavad Gita every day. And Mahaprabhu said, but you're holding the Bhagavad Gita upside down. And the Brahman said, well, I'm illiterate, so I didn't know what to do. And then Mahaprabhu said, well, I see that you're reading and you're crying also. And then the Brahman said, well, every time I pick up this book, I think of how wonderful is Lord Krishna, that he has become the chariot driver of his devotee. He's become the servant of his devotee. And so I see the battlefield, and I see everything, and I see Krishna has become the servant of his devotee, and this makes me cry. And Mahaprabhu was so impressed that he embraced the Brahmana, and he said, you are the real reader of Bhagavad Gita. So the next time you want to read Bhagavad Gita, turn it upside down and cry. No, we have to hold it right side up. We're not on that level. Okay, 7-3. Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin maam veti tattataha. Prabhupada used to say, Kaschin Beti Mam Tatata. Amen. The English translation is, Out of many thousands of men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Out of many thousands, sometimes this is translated as millions, but whatever. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. And Prabhupada, in the purport, he explains that there are various grades of men, and out of many thousands, one may be sufficiently interested in transcendental realization to try to know what is the self, what is the body, what is the absolute truth. Generally, mankind is engaged simply in animal propensities, namely eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These are animal propensities. In other words, all the animals are doing them. And we are also eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And hardly anyone is interested in transcendental knowledge. The first six chapters of the Gita are meant for those who are interested in transcendental knowledge and understanding the self and the super-self, or Paramatma, and the process of realization by Jnana Yoga or Dhyana Yoga and discrimination of the self from matter. However, Krishna can be known only by persons who are in Krishna consciousness. So, here, this is a famous verse, obviously, and it is alluding to the exclusivity, the exclusive nature of Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness. Although some people think that, you know, if we were to come to America and open Vedanta Society parlors and smoke cigars and drink brandy and discuss philosophy, people would think that we were very cultured. But because we go out on the street or wherever we are, we sing and we dance and we chant, they think we're a cult, some bizarre cult. If we would just smoke cigars and drink brandy, then they, oh, very philosophical. But the fact is that to be Krishna conscious is not easy, especially at the present moment in Kali Yuga. We've reached a turning point, but nevertheless, at the present moment, the energy of Rajagun and Tamagun are very strong. And we know from our authorities, or from the authorized scriptures, that the actual process of bhakti yoga, when it is followed properly, is difficult. What is that verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidam Vidhi Aikantiki Harer Bhakti Harer Bhakti Utpati Aiva Kalpate. One has to study and learn about bhakti from the Shrutis, these Upanishads, the various Vedic texts. It's there. A little more accessible to us are the Shrutis, the Puranas, the Mahabharata, the Ramayana. These are corollary or The original Vedas are the breathing of Krishna. The original Vedas, Vedaischa Sarvairaham Eva Vedyo, Vedanta Krit Veda Vit Eva Chaham. Krishna says, I am the origin of the Vedas. The goal of the Vedas is to know me. So he's the source of the original Vedas. They're so voluminous, so vast. The whole anthology of Vedic literature you could not properly study in one lifetime. And that means a lot of, bigger than the Library of Congress, I guess. Anyway. Totally different subject matter, too. So the Shrutis are subsequent texts written after the original Vedas, corollary texts written by great scholars, saintly persons, self-realized souls that support the original text, the Shrutis and the Smritis. Shruti means that which is understood by hearing. So that's the original Vedas. And then there's the Puranas, the history. Purana means the old history, itihasa. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, various rules and regulations prescribed for Kala Desha Patra, time, place, and circumstance. We are following Panchara Triki Vidhi when we give Vaishnav Diksha or initiation that comes under Panchara Trika, the Narada Pancharatra, and various other Pancharatras. The deity worship that we do is very simple. It's, you know, six aartis a day and so much cleanliness, and you go in the kitchen, and in a strict kitchen. I was one of the original cooks in Los Angeles, and we had so many rules. You know, everybody wore a mask over their face in the kitchen because you didn't want to spit on the, I mean, you know, not spit like that, but, you know, just by talking, you know, or sneezing or whatever. You could not touch any part of your face or anything with your hands. You'd have to wash. And of course, ladies and anybody with long hair would have to keep their hair bound up and with a cloth over it. And there were cell phones, please leave. It's a real disease. I mean, I know. I have a cell phone. We call them mobile phones in India. But in the Indian Parliament, they passed a law that no cell phones, because when they first came out, you know, everybody had to have at least two or three. I mean, it was a prestige symbol. They didn't know how to use them, but, you know, you had to have one. It's funny, prestige. You had to have, and then there was another thing, because there was a spate of terrorist attacks and this and that. So anybody who was anybody had cell phones coming out their ears, and they were always followed wherever they go, to a marriage or to an engagement or anything, by a jeep with about three or four machine gun toting security guards. And they, you know, I'd see them, they'd come to the wedding with their security guards, and, you know, oh, somebody's arrived, it's coming. And, you know, it could be anybody, it didn't have to be a government minister, and it became a whole thing, you know. Funny what people will do for mundane prestige and what they won't do for Krishna consciousness. But the path of bhakti is not so easy. And therefore, to know Krishna, Krishna can be known, bhaktya mam abhijanati, I can be known by my bhakta. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatataha. I can be known in truth as I am I can be realized. You can see me. You can hear me. You can reciprocate with me when your heart is purified, when your eyes are anointed, prem anjana, when the salve of love, you know, instead of the salve of mascara, this, you know, the salve of love, you know, take off the mascara, you know, get rid of that. Put on the salve of love. See through the eyes of love. We talk about love a lot, you know. Such a big difference between Hollywood love and Bollywood love. Bombay. You know. Bombay is much bigger than Hollywood, but you know. That's not love. That's just, I don't know what it is. I haven't been able to identify it yet. Some kind of weird thing that they invented to make money. Real love comes from service. Even in our relationships with each other, Ram Bhadra was talking about expressions of love. Well, the Upadesh Amrita, the nectar of the instructions of the Lord, explains what is love. Dadati Pratigranati. Giving and receiving gifts. Dadati Pratigranati Guyam Akyati Prichati. Revealing one's mind and listening to others empathically, hearing them. People that you love, sometimes they have to talk to you, and you can't just, you know, turn on your own autobiography to them. You gotta actually listen, you know. And, Bhunte Bhojayate Chaiva, that's the part I like. Giving and receiving prasadam. So these are six major exchanges between the devotee and Bhagavan, Bagger Vance, and Arjuna. Six exchanges of love between the devotee and the Lord. And so just Ram Bhadra was mentioning about giving the gift of Bhagavad Gita. In Bombay, we were actually, I hate to take credit for anything, but I will. I was the one who started this whole idea of emphasizing Gita Jayanti, because it comes right in the middle of our December book marathon, and we did a whole big mail out to our members and non-members in Bombay for Gita Jayanti, to give Shastra Dan. Shastra Dan means the gift of knowledge or the gift of a scripture. And, you know, we give out close to 100,000 Bhagavad Gitas right around this time. They're sponsored by people, their company name or their personal name, and we give them out to the police and to the fire department and everywhere, you know. Nowadays, when we're driving in Bombay, I've had this experience. You know, devotees are not known to be the greatest drivers in the world. You know, if you want to ruin your car, loan it to the temple for a week, you know. If you recognize it when it comes back, then you've got good discrimination. But I had this one experience. I had to get to town, and you know, the driver, I told him, you know, fata fat chelo jaldi, get going quickly, we have to reach town on time. And you know, what did he do? He turned right on a signal, and he shouldn't have done it, and the policeman called him over. And the policeman came over and he saw it was devotees, and he said, "Do you have a Bhagavad Gita?" So I gave him a Bhagavad Gita, and he that's Maharashtra. They have great police force there. But giving your friends, you have to be. I mean, you have, if you want to see Krishna, if you want to know Krishna in truth, what is one prerequisite? You have to believe in him. You have to believe that he's there, that he exists. And if you actually enjoy reading the Bhagavad Gita, then why not give it to others? You just can't tell. Even if you give away 5 Bhagavad Gitas and 4 people put it on the shelf, one person's going to read it, something. And those 4 people who put it on the shelf, someone in their family will pick it up like a time bomb. You know? Don't put a time bomb in the Gita, by the way. It'll get us in trouble. But these Bhagavad Gitas, even if they sit on the shelf, it's not a book. It's a book on the shelf, not to be kept on the shelf. And someone will read it. So give a gift of the Bhagavad Gita. So these 6 exchanges will help us to come closer to Krishna and to practice bhakti yoga and to know him in truth. Out of many millions of men, most people, they have no desire for perfection. Either they're just very stupid, because, you know, even materially, if you want to enjoy life, most people don't enjoy life, they struggle. On this end, there's the very successful people who they make money off of everybody else in New York, and then they fly to their summer home somewhere upstate New York in their helicopter, and, you know, and they have their swimming pools, and, you know. They're successful and they enjoy. And the other end, at the other end of the spectrum, you know, they live in, you know, insane asylums, and they're also enjoying, but, you know, they don't know the difference. But most of us just have to struggle really hard in life just to make ends meet, and, you know, it's very frustrating, very disturbing. So very few people think about doing something, you know. In other words, before you get in and do something, before you get into your life, before you give your energy and your time, you ought to think, well, what do I want to do with my life? Where am I going with my life? What am I going to achieve at the end of my life? Am I just going to go in blindly? Or am I going to set some goals? Am I going to have a barometer? I mean, what do you call it? Compass. A compass that keeps me pointing in the direction that I want to go. So, along with all our other things that we have to do in life, our spiritual life is important, but people don't give it importance today. They're really satisfied with calling themselves by some name. It has nothing to do with spiritual life. They call themselves Christians or Hindus or Muslims or Jews or this or that. But how many people actually know the self, the super self, the body, spirit, matter? How many people take the trouble to develop a little level of perfection there in understanding the spiritual life? Very few, if any. And Krishna's saying here that of those, even of those who achieve something like Brahman realization or somebody who understands something about spiritual life, and there are people in other traditions who do get some spiritual progress. There are very nice spiritual people. I've met so many in other traditions. But even of those, hardly one is able to come to the conclusion that the absolute truth is a person. I was at a friend's house, and he had invited a very big guest. She was a global sales agent, ticket sales agent for one of the biggest airlines in the world. And she had given some help to me. And so I wanted to reciprocate. So she came also to my friend's house because he works for a top company and they'd come to know each other. And so I gave her a copy of the Bhagavad Gita. And we were talking a little bit of philosophy, but she really had a hard time understanding how the Absolute Truth could be a person. And even if you can theoretically accept Purnasya Purnamadaya Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam, God is perfect and complete, so he must be a person also. You can't say that God can't have personality. If you say God can't be something, then you're limiting him. People say, well, if God's a person, then that's putting a limit on him. But that's according to your conception of what a person is. You only know limited persons. But God is an unlimited person. He can do anything with his senses. He can see with his, you know, nose, and he can eat with his eyes, and they're all interchangeable senses. He's the perfect person. He knows, you know your own field. You know something about your own body. You don't know anybody else. My parents were married for 30 years, and I was telling this to Lourdes. Her name was Lourdes. I was telling this to her, that my parents were divorced after 30 years of marriage. They didn't know each other. You know, lack of communication, non-compatibility. After 30 years, they were like married singles. And I'm married, but practically might as well be single. They didn't know, and we don't know beyond the scope of our own field. But Krishna is sarva-khetreshu bharata. I'm the knower of all fields. That's the kind of person that God is. He's there to reciprocate with each and every one of us individually to the level that we cannot even comprehend. He's there to give us joy and affection and a security and encouragement. But who has to take the first step? We have to take that step. And the first thing is to understand how he is a person. If he's a person, there's a problem there. Because I don't depend on anyone, man. I'm independent. I'm a rugged individualist. Nothing gets me down. I'm in charge here. Right? I'm not going to surrender to some ethereal God in the sky. What's all this gibberish? People can't understand that there's so much benefit in surrendering to the Lord, in depending on the Lord. You have to depend on him anyway, whether you like it or not. For example, whether you like it or not, you're going to get old. Time will say you get old, you get old. You're going to die, whether you like it or not. We're dependent in so many ways on our circumstances, on our environment, on our genes, you know, genetic determinism. We're affected in so many ways. You may think you're independent. You may declare your independence in a big ceremony a whole year long, but it's an exercise in futility. It's insanity. You're not independent, and it won't give you any satisfaction to try to maintain such independence. What will bring you satisfaction is when you use your intelligence to understand that there is a supreme being, the absolute truth, and try to become humble, try to become soft, try to melt that frozen heart. Now, I forgot, you know, I'm a Canuck, I'm a Canadian, a rugged individualist in the cold, you know, 40 degrees below zero in some places where I used to go in Canada. I just got back to New York. It's only November and I'm freezing already as I've been, you know, living in warmer climates. So just imagine that frozen heart has become frozen by so many hurts. This lady was telling me about her life, and full of hurts, abused when she was a child, her father, later on abused by her husband, later on this problem, that problem, just recently a car accident. You know, you get cold. You want to defend yourself against the cold, cruel, miserable world. Do unto others before they do it to you. You know, that's the rule. From the Bible. No, this is from the Bible. They have a nice one. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Which is nice. So, if you want to know the absolute truth, you have to improve your quality. You have to become a perfectionist in dealing with your own anarthas, lust, anger, greed, envy. We have all of these six enemies. And we have to deal with them and try to overcome them in a real way. We have to be prepared to take full shelter of the Lord. And even more than that, we have to learn to take shelter of our spiritual master. We have to become humble. We have to become dependent. He means everything to us. We have no reason for living except for the words emanating from his lotus mouth. So, it doesn't help us to, we don't achieve perfection by avoiding our duty. Many thousands, many millions of men, we may even achieve Brahman realization or a secure space or any spiritual or material security for a while, but it won't last. Even spiritual realization, which has not come to the lotus feet of Krishna, is temporary. Brahman realization is temporary. You'll fall from there. Aruya Krishchena Param Padam Tada Padanti Ada. Again, you'll fall down. We have to face the person, Krishna, the loving, kind, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, our dear most friend, and we have to open our heart. We need heart surgery. That's why there's so many Indian doctors, heart surgeons in the country. They're going to do heart surgery on us. We need heart surgery. We need to become real people. And we need to stop worrying. Krishna says, yoga kshema vahami aham. Lord Chaitanya says, rake Krishna mareke mare Krishna rake ke. Krishna will protect you. Krishna will look after you. You cannot be hurt. As long as you know that I am not the body, that I am the eternal servant of Krishna, Krishna Das, Nitya Krishna Das, that's my identity. People may try to hurt your body, you can tolerate that, but it's better to go through life loving Krishna and giving Krishna to others than to remain in a cage, to remain in the refrigerator, you know, cold. That life is no good. So I'm really happy to be here with all of you today. And I'm trying to share with you some of my own realizations. So I hope that you can hear me and get something. Hare Krishna. Anybody have any questions? Comments? Okay. Prasad. The doctor.